Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Join me in our walk this week. As we put our feet in the footprints of the Messiah, they lead up to the temple. 10 days ago, on the Feast of Trumpets, we were called by the shofar. Through these past days of awe, we have prepared for this day, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. For this festival, another of God's lasting ordinances for generations to come, the faithful assemble up at the temple and fast. If we go back in time to Jesus' day, our road has led to the city gates of Jerusalem ahead of us as we ascend. The high walls loom as we pass through in our journey to the temple and its courts. There's a solemnity to the proceedings on this day because today in Jerusalem there will be a death. God has decreed that there will be a sacrifice. A sacrifice unlike any other throughout the year. Today, the high priest intercedes for us with God, and the sacrifices that he offers make atonement for our sins. He begins with a young bull for a sin offering, a ram for a burnt offering. The young bull is sacrificed for the sins of the high priest and his household. Then the priest will take two goats, present them before the Lord. He casts lots for the goats. One goat chosen for the Lord, the other goat is chosen as the scapegoat. The lot is cast, the Lord's goat sacrificed as a sin offering for the sins of the people. Then the blood from the sacrificed bull and goat is taken and sprinkled on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Also applied to the horns of the altar to make atonement even for that most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of God's people. And then the other goat is taken out to the people. The high priest places his hands on the goat and confesses all the sins of the people, transferring them to a sense to the scapegoat, which is then released into the wilderness and left to die. Finally, then the burnt offering is made among the people. The ram is sacrificed as atonement for the priest and the people. The ram is burned with the fat from the slain bull and goat, and then the bodies of the bull and the goat are taken outside of the city gates and they are burned. So it's complete. Sacrifices have been made. The blood has been shed, covered, in a sense, the people and their sins for another year. Scapegoat wanders alone with no food, exposed to the elements. But back in Jerusalem, the people are joyous. They've been affirmed in their covenant with God through no work of their own. He's once again turned away his wrath and granted forgiveness. Everyone in the temple courts are joyous, except for one. As we stand in the temple court, the sun hanging low in the sky, signaling a new day. We anticipate our festival meal, but the person standing next to us is quiet. Imagine Jesus, our companion, going up to the temple year after year, witnessing the people of God carrying out this command, witnessing the sneak preview of his own sacrifice, knowing that the day is coming when He will be sacrifice and scapegoat. Now, God promised through His prophet Jeremiah that He would make a new covenant with His people, not like this ceremony that must be completed year in and year out. The new covenant would forever change people's hearts. God would forgive their sins and remember their wickedness no more through a once and for all sacrifice whose blood would indeed pay the penalty for the sins of all people. For those who allow this blood to flow over them, it covers and changes their hearts, recreating them in the image of the Lord. As all of this runs through Jesus' mind at Yom Kippur, He may have also grieved for those in the crowd who would reject God's final sacrifice. Those who had been presented with the pictures of Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah, the only son carrying the wood up to the mountain. Those who had witnessed the picture God was painting in bright red, in the blood of the animals before them, but still refused to see in those pictures Jesus. Yom Kippur is but a shadow of God's fulfilled plan. The ram's horn sounds. God is said to close the book of life and the book of death, having inscribed names in each. The days of awe are over. The people have done what they can to pacify God. If He accepts the offering of good works, the name will be inscribed in the book of life for another year. If He rejects the good deeds as insufficient, a name will be inscribed in the book of death. And while the end of this day brings rejoicing and a meal, it's an empty joy and a meal much like any other, because those who come together today at Yom Kippur must ask themselves a question. How do I know in which book my name is inscribed? The people have brought the sacrifice to God, but today they're sacrifices of works, good deeds. There's been no blood. There's been no death, because the temple is no more. Remember? In 70 AD, the Romans destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, just as Jesus had predicted, and its destruction was so complete that not one stone was standing on another, and it has not been rebuilt to this day. So how can God expect a sacrifice? Well, the rabbis say, following the destruction of the temple, surely people can reason with God. And so modern Judaism says that by prayer and repentance and fasting and good works, forgiveness can be negotiated. Today in synagogues and homes throughout the world, the high holy days are observed with traditional prayers asking for forgiveness. In one prayer dating back to the 9th century, people forswear all oaths, obligations, and commitments that have been made during the year that have hindered their relationship with God. And as the people fast on this day, denying themselves, they're doing so in an effort to please God. Good deeds are being done. Surely God must be pleased. The shofar sounds, the books are closed, it's done for another year. Returning to the temple courts, as sundown approaches, were there in Jerusalem anticipating the meal that we will share with Jesus, our quiet companion. You look over, though, and he seems downcast. His eyes are pleading. And he quietly asks, "What does your father ask of you? Do you not know? For it is only his blood that can cover the sins of humanity. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life, as it says in Leviticus 17. And the question remains unanswered: how do you know in which book your name is inscribed?" While most simply wonder and shrug their shoulders and say, "I hope I've done enough," the adventurous may say, "Well, if I live to hear the shofar blown at Rosh Hashanah next year, then my name was inscribed in the Book of Life. If I live another year, my work was sufficient." Only to start the cycle again. The Lord God does not want us, any of us, to live on a treadmill of works, seeking to shed our sins in the comfort of a controlled environment of our own making. He has shown us the past. It is dusty. It is uncontrolled by us. It's messy. It's sprinkled with blood. For the blood sacrifice that was necessary has been made once. Once for all. Jesus became the once and for all scapegoat. The sins of the people transferred to him and then led into the wilderness, tempted, attacked. He survived, unharmed, brought to the temple, consecrated by his Father, then sacrificed. Nailed to a cross of wood at the hill of the skull. We can see and sense the blood. Now we're witnessing death. This one, Jesus, is the one whose death covers our sins, and not only covers our sins, removes our sins, cancels those sins, does away with them. There for us on the cross, an unblemished lamb, an unblemished man. Once the sacrifice was made, God had no use for a temple, so he allowed it to pass away. A new temple is constructed in the hearts of those covered by the blood of the Lamb. And so, Yom Kippur has become not a solemn day, not a scary day, wondering how to please a God that we barely know, but a joyful day, praising him for the atonement that he has worked for us. From his own cross, Jesus announced tetelestai, which translates as both "it is finished" and "paid in full." Therefore, no negotiation is needed. A new covenant has been given. He has forgiven our sins and remembers our wickedness no more. The treadmill is stopped. and we are on our way home. Now we can answer the question. You know in which book your name is inscribed, because you have God's promise. Your name is in the book of life, the Lamb's book, endorsed with His precious blood. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, my faith would lay its hand on that dear head of Thine, while as a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. My soul looks back to see the burden Thou didst bear when hanging on the cursed tree. I know my guilt was there. Believing, we rejoice to see the curse removed. We bless You, Lamb, with cheerful voice, and sing Your bleeding love. Amen.